Okay, today's daf in Masechet Zvachim brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Tzadi Zayin. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Vav Amud Beit. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, of course, Rabbi Tarfon is perfect for Hanukkah since he is the one who says that we're supposed to use Shemen Davka of Zayit, which of course makes sense because after all, the original Shemen Zayit was brought back by Teref Befia, which is where Rabbi Tarfon comes from. So, Yonah Matzah Bo Manoach, and let's get moving. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Bishol Mitchilat HaRega. So even though we have this din of Marika Veshtifa, the truth is, if you started cooking some kutchin in the Pesach Mikdash at the beginning of the regal, you can keep cooking without doing Marika Veshtifa the entire time, all the way through, till the end of the regal. The Chachamim Omrim, no, just until the time of Achila. Okay, I don't know. So we say Marika Veshtifa, what do we mean? We mean Marika Kimrikat Hakos, and we mean Shtifa Kishtifat Hakos. Now when you're Marika, it sounds like Kimrikat Hakos is talking about Morek to actually to get all the Isser out of it, that would be done with hot water. And Shtifa would just be like rinsing it off. That's what it sounds like, and that we use that Lashon for the Kos Shabracha. And that would mean, however, that both of them, if I'm saying it's Marika Sakos, would mean that it's cold water. Because Marika of the Kosho Brocha, obviously, if that's what it's talking about, would just mean pouring the water, rinsing out your becher before you make the Kiddush. And that would mean both Marika Veshtifa would be Betzonein, whereas we've been learning all along that Marika means like purging, not just scrubbing it off. And here, the Mishnah is telling us, of course, we already know that this was a Machlokas Tanoim. We spoke about it earlier, the Shita of Rebbe, which we'll be getting into in the Gemara again. Hashpud ve'a'askela, this is a strange Gemara. It says if you have a spit or you have a grill, Rashi actually uses the word griddle. If you use a griddle for baking the korbanos, to take the meat of the korbanos and to roast them, magi'ilan bechamin, which doesn't make much sense because bechamin is certainly not enough to be getting rid of something that was used on the eish, but anyway, but it seems to be saying that it's even if you're like Rebbe, that Marika Veshtifa is done bitzonein, you would still need to use hot water in order, besides the Marika Veshtifa, as the Gemara is going to explain, which we learn out from Clay Midyan, to be able to make them kosher. The only problem is that you don't really make them kosher because you should need a libun. And this the Gemara talks about in Avodah Zarah, but it's a question, why do we say Magilan Bechamin? But meanwhile, let's wait until our sugya works it out. Where does Rabbi Tarfon get this idea that if you were in the middle of Yontev and you don't have to do Marika Veshtifa until the end of Yontev, what does that mean? Well, it says, Ufanita baboker v'halachta la'alecha. So we learn out from there that if you're after you, there it's talking about Karban Pesach, but Lamaisa, this is a din in all of Yomim Tovim, that there's a concept called staying over, Lina, stay over when you bring a carpet, stay over in the Beis HaMikdash. And here it says in the morning, go home. Now that morning cannot possibly be referring to the next morning because the next morning is still Yontev. How can you go home on Yontev? I mean, it's Chutzot Trum and so on. So it obviously is telling me that Akatuva Sa'ola Kulam Boker Echad means at the end of Yontev, when you'd finished spending your time in the Beis HaMikdash, then it's time to go home. But it says in the morning. It's strange. I mean, what about in the morning? It should say at the end. But if it says in the morning, it's mashma that we look at the entire Yontev as one long day, in which case the next morning would be the time only that we would need to do at the end of the day. So we do the end of the day, we're going to do our Marika Veshtifa. That's crazy. You're trying to tell me that this is like Gzeiras HaKosov, that there's no dates during the Chag, right? So in other words, if I had a machshava of chutz lizmanai, it wouldn't be possible? Is that what I'm trying to say? Instead of bringing my korban today when it's supposed to be brought, I shecht it in order to bring it tomorrow. You're telling me that that's kosher? Now what, you're telling me there's no pigle? You're telling me there's no noser just because it's yontif? And maybe you'll try to tell me, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. It's gzerat ha-katuv, it's all one day. But that's not true. Because Vatanya, Rabbi Natan explained that even though Rabbi Tarfon said that it's all considered to be one day, he didn't mean binogea anything like noser pigo. He was talking about this particular halacha, which is only berika v'shtifa. Now, so what would be the sense in that? I mean, it's obviously can't be gzeiras hakosev if it doesn't apply to pigo and noser. So how could it apply to berika v'shtifa? There's got to be a whole different reason here. Truth is that this is going the way Reb Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua explained Rabbi Tarfon. The Omer Reb Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua, the point over here is that during Yontav, you've got millions of korbanos that are being brought, right? So everybody's bringing their chagiga, and everybody's bringing any nedarim or nedaves that they had from the whole year. They've been waiting, saving it up for Yontav. When they go up to Yerushalayim, Mizbeach is very busy. And everything that had been used to cook something was used to cook again, and 10 minutes later, when the next person would bring a korban. So there's never a time that anything is cooked and hasn't been actually boiled out, because it's going to be boiled out by the next use of that kli, which means that kol yom v'yom, Naase Giula Chavero, every single day becomes a new washing out for the day that was before. So all we need to do, since the shlomim is eaten for 2 days, there's no problem. We'll take the shlomim today, and it's not going to become noser until the next day's evening, but by then, there's been another 100 shlomim that have been washed, and it just keeps coming out. And even if somebody had used it for chatas, and then we just make sure that at the end of the day that the last thing that we're going to cook in it is we do a shlomim in it. And that way, even if there's chatas in it, there wouldn't be any problem. But that doesn't mean that Rabbi Tarfon would say this at any other time. He just knows that it's just impossible because of the high traffic that it wasn't used constantly throughout the chag. So that must be the explanation. So, but what the Chachomim argue, and they say, ad zman achila, well, what does that mean, ad zman achila? That's not the issue. They should just say every day, well, what's ad zman achila? They must be saying a new din. Micah Omar, Omrim Nachman Omar Rabba Baravua, what they're saying is that you don't immediately after you did something in that pot. Basically, what they're saying is that you never actually need to do a act of Merika V'shtifa until you are finished with the use of the pot. So therefore, we're going to allow you to wait till the end when it's time for doing the Merika V'shtifa. And Tosfos learns that this means after already it would be the Zman of Neisar. It doesn't mean you're supposed to prevent Neisar because otherwise, you should do it right away. Minani mili. So where did they get that from? That we understand all of these dinim that we spoke about, Marika, Vishtifa, and so on. How do we know all of this? Omer Rebbe Yochanan, Mishuma Ba Yosi Ben Abba, Ksiv, we see that Murak V'shutaf Bamayim comes immediately before the Pasuk of Kol Zachar B'Kohanim Yochal Tanah. What is the relationship between the two? Ketzad, Mamtila ad zman achila. That's exactly what the point is. That the Pasuk is saying, as long as you can still be using it for something, and a kohen is going to eat it, so then fine, use it. It's only when you're no longer going to have the kol zachar b'kohanim yochal, then you do the Merika V'shtifa. Now, the Mishnah claims that Marika is cold. And it means Marika Takos, it means like a Koshal Brocha. And the Shtifa is Kishtifa Takos, which also means Koshal Brocha, which is done on the outside. So, Tana Rabbanan, let's see what the Moker of that is. Remember that this was Rebbe Shita. Marika Vishtifa, both of them are done Bitsoni. The Chachamim Omrim, no, Marika means to be memarek, means to get everything out. It doesn't mean just to, like, scrub well. And therefore, it would have to be done b'chamin. You don't get everything out using cold water. That's the general way that we use the word marika, isn't it? Like we talk about intercourse. Marika, we talk about bias hamiruk, which would mean bias bia gomor. So that you already have complete getting it all out, so to speak. The same thing is true over here. And therefore, Marika means Bechamin, Shtifa means Bitsoni. And obviously, it's got to mean that, because how else are you going to get rid of the Nosa? My time in the Rabbanim, I mean, we have a whole parsha in the Torah about the Yulei of the Kechavim by Milchemes Midyan. And it says over there, Beferish, anything that you're going to be using with hot, you need to wash out with hot. Anything that's Baba Eish, it needs to be Baba. We know all those dinim. So how can you tell me that when it comes to Kachum, we're not going to be worried about the Tam of Isser in it? V'Rebbe Amalacha? Obviously. What makes you think that I'm talking about anything to do with kashrus? Hagala lo kamina, of course, if it lamaisa has any time of Isser in it, of course you would need to get it out, but that's not the new halacha that the Torah is giving us for kachim. That's for anything. I'm saying after you do hagala, so then the Torah is being mechayev you here to do marika v'shnifa l'bata hagala. So after you do the hagala, that's when you need to do the marika v'shnifa. And the Rabbanan, so why don't they see this as a separate chiyuv from the chiyuv of Geulei Akum? Because they say, look, if that's what you're talking about, so then there's no meaning to the word Marika versus Shtifa. I mean, you're just using Marika in a way of referring to cleaning out the cup. I mean, so just say, Umorak, Umorak. Or just rinsing out, say, shutaf and shutaf. If you're using different words, I mean, so in the context of the shutaf, obviously, omorak is something that is much deeper, because that's what marika means. It means to really get into it. So then that would mean marika b'chamin, v'shtifa b'tzonin. Why is Rebbe saying that this would be a separate chiyuv from the Hagalah? Because Rebbe says, look, Torah could not have used the same word. Because iktivo morak v'morak, so I would have said that what you do is two times the same thing. So either trade zimne marika to rinse it inside, or trade zimne shutaf to rinse it outside. I don't know that one means on the inside and one means on the outside. Lekachtiv umorak v'shutaf lomar lecha. These are two different things. Marika is like the marika of the keshel bracha, and the shtifa is the washing it outside, which is also needs to be done over here, specifically besides the washing out of the inside. Where is our Sir Richard tonight? Just because he's in a lot, that means he gets away with murder. I know what he was thinking. He was thinking that Doc wouldn't be here tonight so he could get away with murder. But Doc is here tonight and is going to introduce this very next mission in his own inimitable way. Go for it.
No.
It's, okay. It's not a new parak. It's only the Mishnah, but I guess you've been holding it in so long, you got to let it out. So let's talk about a case where you cooked kachim and chulin together in the same pot. Or maybe you cooked kachim kachim and kachim kalim, and now there's a nice in tam of the dover hachomur, the kachim kachim is a nice in tam of the kachim kalim, or the kachim gave a nice in tam to the chulin. So if there's enough that you're able to taste it, So then, Hareha Kalinda Chalim Kechamurim Shabbat. Then you have to be Machmir, like in any case, just like we're Machmir, usually on things that are mixed together, we say Echad B'Shishim. This is the Chachamim say, even Min B'Minai, we do deal with it as if there's a Tam, and we do Echad B'Shishim. But if it's actually not Patur B'Shishim, so then that means that the Chulin has to be treated with the Chumrah of Kachim. You're not going to be able to eat the Chulin that has taste in it of something that became Noser, or that has something in it that can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, or something that can only be eaten in the Azara, or something that can only be eaten by Zichre Kuhuna, whatever the case was, that's going to be the din of the Morkal, whether that Morkal was Chulin, or that Morkal was Kachib Kalim, which could have been eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, and now they have to be eaten in the Azara by Zichre Kuhuna because you cooked them together with a Chatas, let's say. Now here, the Mishnah does something which makes absolutely no sense. And in the end, the Gemara is going to actually insert a whole different section in the Mishnah to make this make sense. But what it seems to say in the Mishnah is that even though I just told you that we give the Kalin the Chumr of the Chamurim, that doesn't mean that the pot requires Marika Vashtifa, which of course it does. This makes no sense. But as I say, the Gemara will ask, so the pots don't need Marika Vashtifa, and if they touch anything else, now this is introducing us to a very important thing that we haven't discussed at length. We did mention it, but this is coming to tell me a special halacha, the kol hanogea behem yigdash. The kol hanogea behem yigdash. We're going to see later on when we darshan it that the Torah is saying anything that touches kachim is going to get the same level of kedusha, and we'll be medayik there that it doesn't mean touching; it means that it actually absorbs some of the tam. But this will all do in the Gemara. So therefore, it does not make sense to say if they're ne'achalim kechomur, so why would they not require marika v'shtifa? And why would they not be postlin b'maga? Postlin b'maga simply means to give the same din as the chumra. It will pass along whatever that chumra is into the next thing that it touches. And, okay, the Gemara is going to obviously have to change that. Now, if the case is that a mincha that was rikikin, and it was pasul, and it touched another mincha of rikikin, which was kosher. So here we're not talking about different levels of kedusha, but we're talking about a psul touching a kosher, which is also the same idea of kol hanegeah ben yigdash. Or, let's say a piece of meat touches another piece of meat. It could even be from the same korban. And one of them is pasul. So what's the din? Do we say that it bedafka is always going to be pasul? Well, not necessarily. Lo kol harikikin, velo kol achatichot asurin. It isn't always the same halacha. It actually depends. And what is the din where it is aser? Eino aser ela makom shebala. So when it has actually a negiya, so then, only the part where it touched is actually osir. Now, this is true even when it comes to chulin, of course, right? So let's say if you have yovesh, something that is dry, touches something else that's dry. So the din is only insofar as it's going to penetrate. Now, if we're talking about something that is oily and is mefafea, so then it penetrates the entire kli. But if it's two dry things and there's no fat that's on it, so then the din is that only the thickness of an etzba is necessary for you to cut off, and the rest of it is kosher. Now, that's true over here. So the mokum that was balea and only the mokum of balea is considered to have that iser in it. Now, what the heck is this Mishnah talking about? It contradicts itself. It starts off and it says that if it has been eisen tam, so then you have to be nechal chumra, right? That means you have to treat it with all the chumra. Well, treating it with all the chumra includes a number of different things. It includes that it's going to need marika v'shtifa like the chumra, It includes that if it's, let's say, an Isser of Noser or whatever, or if it just is only allowed to be eaten by Koyanim, so then that is should be given over to whatever it touched. I mean, why is it only like one level down that we're going to answer it? Why would that be? If you're telling me that if the kalin and echolim kechamurim, then obviously they would require marika b'shtifa, and obviously they would pasul the maga. But then you turn around and you say, well, they're echolim kechamurim, but they don't need marika b'shtifa. And they're not pasul by being absorbed by something else. That makes no sense. Answers the Gemara, chasuri mechasra. Actually, the Mishnah is simply missing something. Maybe that's the Gerus, maybe the Gerus is Holy Kamar, but the point is that the Mishnah needs to be understood as if it said like this. Im yesh behem benotin tam, hari akalim necholim kechamurim. If you have the Gerus of Kisurim Echasra, so you actually read this Nusach into the Mishnah. If not, it means use your brains, and this is what is missing, and you have to understand that it obviously, if the kalim are necholim kechamurim, then they will, in fact, yes, require to uni marika b'shtifa, yes, they will pasul b'maga. Now, next piece of the Mishnah needs to be introduced with the words, but if ein behem benotin tam, then ein akalim necholim kechamurim, and ein tunim marika v'shtifa, and ein poslin b'maga, because obviously if they themselves are not osir, they're not going to osir anything else, and if they weren't absorbing the tam of kachi kachim, they don't need marika v'shtifa. What do you mean they don't need marika v'shtifa? You still need marika v'shtifa for the kachim kalim. If the kachim kalim got mixed with the kachi kachim, why do you say they don't need marika v'shtifa at all? The kachim kachim don't need the marika b'shtifa, but the kachim kalim do require the marika b'shtifa. Yeah, says Abaye. When it says that they don't need it, it means they don't need it like the time of the marika b'shtifa, which would need to be done by the end of the first day for kachim kachim. But of course, I mean, it relies on you to be intelligent enough to understand. I mean, they didn't lose their din of kachim kalim. And if the kachim kalim have to be taken care of the next day, so take care of them the next day. It just means you don't need to take care of them on the same day. Have a kachim kalim, of course, they're to unim. Whereas Rava says, no, that's not the way to say it. It's saying they really don't need, in either case, whether it's chulin or whether it was kachim kalim, they really do not need marika v'shtifa. You know why? Because the whole point over here is that the Mishnah is coming to tell me a stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. Remember Rabbi Shimon Shita we had a few days ago? That kachim kalim bichlal ain't doing marika v'shtifa. So it's coming to tell you stam. If you cooked kachim kalim with kachim kachim, they don't need marika b'shtifa if they weren't b'leah. So one second. The way that Rav is learning, I now understand very well why we had two cases. We have two cases which on the surface seem to be the same. You're telling me if you cooked chulin with kachim, or if you cooked kachim kachim with kachim kalim. I mean, there's one concept over here. Yes, it has the taste, or no, it doesn't have the taste. If it does have the taste, so whatever it is, it's always going to be kachomor. What's the nafkamina? Why would I need to know one case of chulin bekachim, the other case of kachim kachim with kachim kalim? So according to Rava, now I know very well why I need it. Because the whole point that the Mishnah was making is that kachim kalim cooked with kachim kachim don't need marika v'shtifa at all. That's a big kiddush, because it's coming to tell me that the Stam Mishnah is Halacha Rebbe Shimon. So according to Rava, I need to know that. But according to Abaye, it says, Haina diktani o kachim kachim v'kachim, with kachim kalim. But according to Abaye, why do I need to have two examples? You told me chulin v'kachim. I understand the concept. The concept is that it would be mechayev of them in all of the dinim, to be nechal kachomur, to be morik v'shotuv, to be able to answer something if it came in touch with it. But what's the point of mentioning it twice? Abaye says, well, there is a point, but it has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon. The point is that if the Mishnah only talked about the first case of kachim and chulin, I would have thought, you know what? Cholin mixed with kachim indeed is mevatel the kachim. Because it's like min v'sheino mino, you know, it's like a completely different thing. And so it's not going to be mechazik the kachim, it's going to be mevatel the kachim. But if I cook kachim with kachim, maybe kachim with kachim kalim, maybe it's not going to be actually mevatel it because it's more like the same thing and each one is mechazik the other. So maybe it wouldn't become batel at all. And whatever amount it is, it doesn't matter whether yesh bo benos in tam. And on the other hand, itana kachim kachim v'kachim kalim, I would have said, okay, kachim, yes, they have a kayach in them, they're alime, to be mevatel other kachim. But chulin is if it's just batel the chulin, nobody cares about chulin, it's as if it's not even there when it comes to the inyanim of bitul kachim, so maybe imalo, so I can understand that if you have something that has the chashivas of kachim, so its greater tam will define what type of kachim this is. Is it kachim kachim or kachim kalim? But to say that chulin should be empowered to change what the din is of the kedesh, I would have thought maybe not. So Memele, the Mishnah is coming to tell me both dinim, only in order to teach me the halachas of where we do a tam, a nosin tam, and that you shouldn't think we only do nosin tam in one or the other. Okay, now the next piece of the Mishnah says, well, it's not always the same. If you have two things that touch each other, so lav davka they're going to usher. If a mincha that was posel touches a mincha that's kosher, you have a mincha serkikin. So you've got this little cookie, their kik, or a wafer, a cracker. So turn it up on kol asher yiga. So what does it say in the posel? Kol asher yiga bivisara yigdash, v'asher yizeh midamala beged asher yizeh alea tichabes b'makom kadosh. So we've left this halacha that came together with shviras klicheres, marika v'shtifa of metallic kalim, the din of washing off the dam of a beged, and one other thing that came right at the beginning of Zot Torah Tachatat, which is kol asher yiga bivsara yigdash. Okay, wow. So later on we're going to have to see. I mean, here it says anything, but wasn't this part of the Zot Torah Tachatat? Why are we so sure that it's true about all kachim? That we're going to ask in a moment. But meanwhile, let's just see how we understand kol asher yiga, because yiga means just to touch. I mean, what, touching? Is that the point? So yochel afilo shelo bala, you might think that even if there was no absorption, anything, it says, kol asher yiga. So anything that touches this Kodesh meat or this Kodesh mincha is going to get the same din as whatever it touches, even if it doesn't absorb from it. I don't know, some kind of gzeres hakosu. Talmud lomar, kol asher yiga bivisara. Bivisara means getting into it, right? Into that meat. So how can you touch in its meat? Just get kol asher yiga bisara, but bivisara, inside of its meat, how do you touch something inside of its meat? Only through belia. So therefore, it teaches me that without belia, we don't have to worry about any of this. That means that essentially we've got these three issues here that have to do specifically with belia, and that is nigia that we talked about, and marika v'shtifa, which we were analyzing before, whether the belia alone is enough. We brought a raya that belia alone would be enough, even if there was no actual cooking that took place. And we have also the din of shviras klicheres. So they all are sort of interrelated, and it's interesting that they don't all necessarily apply only to the chatas, even though they were introduced that way. So we need to clarify that still. But it certainly means achi yibala bivisarat. It's got to be actually into that meat. So you might think, yochol, nagabi miktsat chaticha. What about if it just actually absorbed a little bit on in one part? So you might think the whole thing should become pasul. As we said before, this is talking about where it's not fatty. If it's fatty, so then even we're talking about chulin, it would be mifafea bekula. But what if it just touches part? You might think that it automatically passes the whole thing. Talmud Lomar, Yiga. Only, why do you say Yiga? If the point is not Yiga, then the point is the Belia. So why talk about it in such a strange way? Anything that touches, that's the point. It's teaching me that it's only the part that touched that was Belia, and not the part that didn't touch. Exactly. So each thing is the Bivisara explains you need Belia, and the Yigam means it's only the place where the touching conveyed that Belia. So what do? You just cut off that part. And that's an etzba, Kashira etzba. The Kotech is Makom Shabala, the thickness of an etzba, the rest of it remains kosher. And then when it says bivsara specifically, it means things that touch the gidim or the atzamot or the karnaim or the teldafayim. Those things are not included because they're not considered to be basar. There's no din of being makriv them on the mizbeach, and there's no iser to eat them in the event that it was pigal or whatever it was. So they also, we're going to see in a moment also, that asham, we learn out from asham, that there's no, remember we talked about before, making a challah knife handle out of the atzamais of the asham. There's no specific kedusha and isurim of akila that have anything to do with gidim, atzamais, karnayim, and tlafayim. And then when it says yigdash, what do you mean when you say yigdash? In terms of what? Holy, like for what? That it belongs to Hegdash or what? No, yigdash means it gets the same din, liot kamoa. What do I mean? So, for instance, if that chatas was possible, and this thing touches the chatas possible, so then it becomes possible. Well, previously, it was a chatas that was kosher. So, im psulahi, tipasel. Im kshirahi, so then maybe it was only kachim kalim, maybe it was only chulin, but now it has to be eaten. Kechamur shaba. So if it touched the chatas, it's going to only be eaten by kohanim. It's only going to be eaten inside of the azara, and it's only going to be eaten for one day, and it's only going to be eaten b'taira, and so on and so forth. So I understand something. Why don't we say, and we're talking over here about one piece of meat touches another piece of meat. Or we talked about the case of a mincha, in which you have like one of the crackers of the mincha touches the other cracker. And now what? We're not going to eat it because one of them was pasul. But the one that wasn't pasul still has a chiyuv of eating it. So now you're telling me, but there's an iser because it touched the other one. So why isn't the chiyuv of achila of the one that was completely kosher? Why isn't that achila, the mitzvah of achilas kachim, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, to be achil kachim, that's a mitzvah asay. Why would that not be docha, the iser of not eating that which is balua, that is yigdash? We should say that you should eat it. So let's say neise asay, velitche es lot asay. Tosus understands that the question over here is, what makes you think, even though the Torah said beferish, not to, right? So what makes you think that we should learn out like we do from the cases of Kilayim, all of the different rites that the Gemara brings, that Eses, Darcholoisas, Tzitzis, and Kilayim, and so on? Maybe we should learn from you the opposite, that since the Torah said don't eat it, so it's Gufa coming to tell us that it's a mistake to think that Ese is Deucholoitase, and we should learn from here that it's not. That's how Tosfos understands it, because otherwise, what are you asking? I mean, this is Gzeiras HaKasam. The Torah said Yigdash Liot Kamo, and you're going to say, no, it doesn't mean that. Especially, we'll see later, Legabe the Karban Pesa, we tried to bring Rai. I mean, that's even crazier. You can get away with it. Omar Rava? No, I'll tell you, because the Din of Ese Deucholoitase does not apply in the Beis HaMikdash at all. I'll prove it to you. Ein es docha lo tase. Why? Because if you take a look at the Korban Pesach, so what does it say? Etzem lo tishberu bo. And Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says, when it says don't break a bone, it's talking about even marrow bones. So echad etzem sheyesh bo marach, v'echad etzem she'ein bo marach. Does that make sense? We have a mitzvah say of achilas korban pesach, and now we have a mitzvah zelot aseh of don't break a bone. But how am I supposed to get to the marrow in the bone? So why don't we say that the mitzvah of achilas the Pesach, which obviously would be that marrow is great. Why can't I'm chayav to eat the marrow? So let the asay of eating the meat be dochel olot asay of breaking the bone. So why did it, again, this Tos understands it. So why does the Torah put it this way, that you cannot break the bone, even, and we learn out from the Pasuk, even if it's a marrow bone? Must be to tell me that there's no concept of esedocha lo tasa. But that, says Rava, is true binogeya, the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, you can't ask on me, let's make this the mekor of ein esedocha lo tasa. Ravashi says, no, it's a very simple reason. This is not an esed chaloisasa at all. You're making a big mistake. Kol asher yigabi v'sara yigdash liyot kamoa is a mitzvah saseh. Yigdash means you are mechuyev to treat it with the kedusha of whatever the chumra was. So that is not just a comment on the din of iser. It's teaching you how you're supposed to act. And therefore, it's a mitzvah saseh. So what do you want to do? You want to be docha, both a lot aseh and an aseh? Everybody agrees that ein aseh, docha lot aseh v'aseh. So there's not even any basis at all to learn out from here, whether es is docha lot aseh, because that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about here an eseh being docha, another eseh, besides lot aseh. Okay, now, in the Mishnah, we sort of took it for granted.
Question, are we talking about just the piece that we cut off, the Isser Achila, or the whole thing becomes Yigdash and cannot be eaten?
Well, that's what we spoke about before. In the event that we have an actual Blia, that's what before we talked about just touching, and we learned that it has to be Bivisara. But if you actually have a blia in the visara, so then this becomes the basis, as Rashi points out, the basis to the idea, which was a gabi klal called heter mitzaref l'isur. So what happens over here is that the entire thing that has the mamashut of the blia, and this is not talking about the tam, this is talking about where you actually have the shuman of the chatas that was absorbed, that we learn from here that the entire thing is mitztaref to the iser. That's not a din in tam. That's a din in heter mitztaref al iser, which we learn out from the extra bays in the bivisara, right? Deep inside. Okay, so now the question is, why did we take for granted that this is true about any kachi, kachim, kachim, kal? I understand. We said before, when it came to the din of the tam, that the din of the dam is a function of zotorat achatat, and it was limited to achatas, and it was exeris akosu, and this is found in exactly those same psukim. So how do we know that it's true not only of the chatas, but it's true of everything? Ashkechon chatatim is kadesh bivalua. Okay, so I hear the idea kol asher yiga yigdash, but that is only on Zotorat HaKatat. And you said it's everything. Shar Kodashim Minolan. Omar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Actually, we learn it out from a long Hekesh. And we're going to go through the whole Hekesh now. And that Hekesh is the fundamental Hekesh of all Korbanos to each other. And we know that we learn out from each one of these Korbanos a special halacha that appeared in the din of that korban, and we apply it to all the other korbanos that are mentioned. So that, of course, is the pasuk that we've spoken about, Zot haTorah la'ola la'mincha v'la'chatat v'la'asham v'limiluim u'lezevach hashlamim. That pasuk is basically coming to compare, because there's no new dinim that it seems to be teaching us. We had already all of the halachas of each one of those korbanos. So why repeat? We had Zotorat Ola, we had Zotorat Achatat, Zotorat Zevach HaShlamim. What is the point of repeating everything at the end? That's coming to be makish all of them, to each other to learn out from each one a unique din that was stated legabe that particular card. Okay, so let's go through it. Zota Torah, La Ola. Okay, what's so special about the Korban Ola? It's coming to teach me Ki Ola. Just like the Korban Ola requires a kli, all korbanos require a kli. What kli? What are you talking about? What you mean, the kli that you're mekabel adam? Why do we need to learn that from Ela? We know that anyway, because it says beferish on Har Sinai, where we brought over there not only olot, but we brought over there shlamim, which of course were shalmei tzibur. And it says over there, b'shalmei tzibur namik tibu, vayikach Moshe chatzi hadam, Vayosem ba'aganot. So it says beferish that you needed to, Moshe Rabbeinu had to put them into aganot. So the shlamim are mentioned here, and we're going to see that the shlamim teach their halachas to all the other korbanos. So if I know anyway that shlamim require aganot, so why mention it twice? Why do I need the oila to teach me something that I'm going to learn out anyway from shlamim? That makes no sense. So I can't be talking about the dinim of a mizrak for dam. What I do know only from Ayla is that you need to use a knife for shechita. Because, look, if you're shechting chulin, do you need to use a knife? No. You can use anything that cuts. You could pick up a stone or flint or whatever you want. And as long as it's sharp and you're not going to be causing any of the chomish psulim in the act of shechita, it's perfectly all right. The Torah doesn't care if you use a knife, you use metal, you use whatever you use. So comes along Ola to tell me, but when it comes to kachim, you must use a knife. And just like the Ola requires a knife, so too all of the korbanos that you shecht require a knife. Well, how do I know that an oila requires a knife? Ah, that I know because it says, Vayishlach Avraham et yado, Vayikach et ha-machelet. So he took a knife to shecht Yitzchak. And Yitzchak was an oila, as it says beferish, Vayaleu la'oila tachas beno. So that means the aveda that he was doing to that oila was, in fact, needed to be done with a knife. Otherwise, was the Torah told me that he took a machelet? Whatever he took, then, v'shachat. So the fact that he needed to take a machelet clearly meant that that was part of the tzivui. So that teaches me all korbanos are similar to the akedah and nir shechita of Yitzhak. Needs to be a knife. Okay, next thing is la la mincha. What do we learn out from mincha? For all korbanos, just like the mincha is eina ne'achelet ela lezichrei kuhuna, so too all the korbanos that are similar to the mincha, meaning that they're all basically kachet kachim, they can only be eaten by zichrei kuhuna. I don't understand. So what's that teaching me? Like what? That a chatas and an asham? Obviously, I don't need to compare them. It says in the Parsha of Chatas, Kol Zachar B'Kohanim Yochlenu. It says exactly the same thing by the Asham. So what are you telling me that I learned it out from Mincha? I have two other psukim by the Chatas and the Asham. Are you coming to tell me? Yeah, but you don't have a pasuk by Shalmei Tzibur. How do you know that the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur that are brought on Shchag HaShavuos together with the Lechem of the Shtei HaLechem? How do you know that that's only eaten by Kohanim? So maybe that's what I learn out from this comparison to the Mincha. No, because I know that from a Ribui from the Pasuk. Since it says, B'Kodesh HaKodeshim Tochlenu Kol Zachar Yochaloto. So that's talking about, it's true, that it's not, this is not talking about the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. The point is, however, that it says in this pasuk, Kodesh Yiyaloch. Kodesh Yiyaloch is a ribui, and we understand that Kodesh Yiyaloch has got to be referring to the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Why? Because this pasuk in Korach, remember, is listing all of the Esrim V'Arba Matnes Kehuna, right? That's why the Bris Melach, and this was the point at which HaKadosh Baruch was Bechazik the Kehuna. And the thing is that in the Parsha of the Mayadim, the Chiv of the Karbonis, it says, Beferish, Kodesh Yiyula Hashem LaKohen. So how come we don't find it given to the Kohen? How come it doesn't mention it there? That must mean that that extra pasuk of Kodesh Yeloch, which, I mean, what's it referring to? You just said it's Kodesh Yeloch. That's referring LaKohen. That's the Loch that it's telling me about. In which case, it means that I know in Kerach also the din of Shalmei Tzibor. So what do I need to learn out that Kayanim are the ones who eat from Mincha? Well, you're right, but actually it's a Machlokas Tanoim. So there are some Tanoim who learn it out from here, from the Mincha, and you're right, there's some Tanoim that learn it out from the Pasuk that you just brought. That it must be a remes to the Kayanim in Kerach. And we'll see tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, that there is an entirely different approach of here by Rabbi Akiva to this, all of this limud. And there's many places in which we've got not only two possibilities, but even three possibilities of learning these limud. In the different places the Gemara goes through, why, what would those Tanas say about the other limud and so on, which we don't go through here, but we're going to go through some tomorrow, Mirtzasha. Meanwhile, wishing everybody a Chodesh Tov Umivorach.
Tomorrow, what time, Yoni?
Good question, but first let me finish wishing you not only a Chodesh Tov, but a Chanukah Sameach and a happy week in terms of Inhael Yeshua Si, Eftach Velo Efchad, and we should be zoche to the same type of nisim, niflois, and yoriv rivenu, and yinkom nikmasenu, that we were zoche in these days, bayomim, ayem bizman hazeh.